believe that fear could be a driving force, you know, you know, fight or flight, you know, either one of them, you know, if you have fear, then you're either going to be, you're going to fight for something or you're going to run like hell, which is also moving forward. The things that scare you, things that, you know, no pain, no gain, build you up. And whether it's fear or whether it's pain or whether it's hurt, that's the only way to get better, bigger, healthier. You could lock yourself in a room and do nothing and not be scared and be protected and padded walls, but you'll just go fucking nuts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Now, that was Howie Mandel, very funny comedian, host of America's Got Talent. And it's a really fun conversation with him about America's Got Talent, how he got started in hosting game shows, and a whole bunch of other funny stories he tells. Really fun conversation. Before we get to that, I'm going to be doing my show, Permission to Speak, my Broadway comedy show directed by the great Frank Oz. We're taking it to Orlando in January, January 18th. January 17th, we're going to be in Fort Lauderdale at the Broward Center for the Performing Arts, Dr. Phillips Center in Orlando on the 18th. We're going to be in Rhode Island at the United Center going back. We sold it out last year, want to sell it out again. So if you're in the area, Mass, Connecticut, Rhode Island, come on out. And we've got more dates coming up for my stand-up tour as well. Go to paulmercurio.com for tickets and see where I'm going to be. And I think you're really going to like Howie. By the way, I don't know if it's just a matter of, I can't make small talk anymore with people. I just don't have it in me. I just can't. So I come up with a line, like a new line of welding helmets, like decorative welding helmets with cool decals and designs. So you could just, you know, be out in a social setting. You're at like a cocktail party. Someone corners you, you know, got the helmet on, you know, the face mask is up. And, you know, my son, he's a 4.0 and we think he's going to get into Yale. And my daughter, she's, you know, she's a captain of her volleyball team. And you just flip the face mask down, conversation ends, and you walk away. I think it's brilliant in its simplicity. So keep an eye out for the Paul Mercurio line of welding helmets. All right. Hope to see you on the road. Go to paulmercurio.com and you can see where I'm going to be. Grab some tickets. Come on out. Bring some friends. Bring some family. And enjoy Howie Mandel. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. Very, very funny comedian on with me right now. Someone who's been on the show before and somebody I've admired for a long time. Not just as a comedian, but a really good dramatic actor, too. It's Howie Mandel, longest serving judge on America's Got Talent, which is in its 20th season. Also has a new stand-up tour coming up. You can go to www.howiemandel.com to see dates. Dates are coming up and get tickets. He's going to be all over the place with that. And we are here to talk about America's Got Talent and his tour. And with acts can now start auditioning online. It's great to have you with me on the show again.
Well, thanks for having me. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm on the show. I'm on the show pushing people to audition for our 20th season. This is a banner year. And they could be, somebody listening to this could be the next $1 million winner, the next Richard Goodall. I don't know if you saw last season, but Richard Goodall, this middle-aged janitor who out of nowhere just skyrocketed to fame. You know, he's been singing Journey songs to elementary students for years and years and years. Somebody recorded it. It ended up on TikTok. One of our producers saw it. And now the guy is a superstar. He won $1 million. He had never been on a plane before. He's opening for me on this tour that you talk about on December 28th. We'll be in Fantasy Springs Resort Casino. Richard will be my opening act. I usually tour by myself or Arsenio Hall. Me and Arsenio do a lot of, but they, as you said, they can go to howiemandel.com. But I want people to audition. If they go to agtauditions.com, they can figure out where they can go and be seen in person. They can also send a recording to that agtauditions.com, and they will be looked at, and they will, and people go through it. And it doesn't matter whether you're a singer, whether you're a dancer, whether you're a contortionist, whether you just tape Swiss cheese to your cheek, Just send it in and let us be the judge of whether it's worthy of being on the show. You never know. You know, I was talking this morning to somebody else and I told them there's this guy who has the ability to get kicked in the nether region or the inability to feel pain. And he came on our show and he ended up with, a short-lived series on MTV, kind of like Jackass, you know, and you don't know what it's going to get you, but it will get you to a new, better place in life. And this is the most celebratory season we have had to date. It's the 20th season. The AGTauditions.com are the place to go.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can hear the passion in your voice and I wanted to talk about the effect that this show has on people, but also on you. And I want to tie it into when you got on Deal or No Deal and you took that a show against, I know Mike Rotenberg, your manager and longtime friend, and you initially you were like, I'm not doing a game show. And there's a story you tell about this woman, Karen Van, who came on. I think she might've been the first contestant. And you realized when in the middle of the show with her, like this was she didn't have much money. I think she was divorced and she was a part-time notary public. And it hit you that this was more than just you sort of reading some cue cards or whatever and moving people along, the impact that the show had. And it put some fear in you, but also a sense of responsibility that you could be part of changing somebody's life. And the same with this show, I see the ties and the parallels. Talk about, like, that must feel good. You know, you're not just making people laugh.
You know, and that's what the show does. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, all these shows, for whatever, however you see them, they are real people. And on AGT, these are all people with hopes and dreams. And I think there isn't anybody alive that you can't relate to that doesn't have a hope and a dream, even a hope and a dream for today. No, like, I hope it turns out this way. I hope I make this sale. I hope everybody, you know, and what happens is there are very few places where you can really watch in real time somebody's hope and dream come true. You see, I'm lucky enough to be in the room, but who, you know, and that's why there's no question as to why, you know, last year we had close to 2 billion clicks online worldwide. Doesn't matter what your language is or where your culture is. If you see somebody show up on that stage who, and sometimes they, and I don't think there's anybody alive that doesn't have some adversity in their life, you know, whether they're dealing with loss, whether they're dealing with the inability to make it somewhere or to do something or money or whatever, life is tough. And when in that moment, they can show up and do something and you see in real time, their life is never going to be the same. Not even if they don't have to win, but you know, they get recognition or they get the feeling that they have the ability that maybe they can do this. Maybe they can make a living out of this. You know, there's people that have shown up on our show who haven't won, who have gone on to do have amazing careers. You know, the Jabberwockies were a dance crew, which were on you know, that dance crew show. First, they were on our show, and now they have a room in Vegas. There's so many people that have their own rooms in Vegas, Piff the Magic Dragon, that are not winners of the show, but they were able to get enough exposure. And even comedians who are doing well today come on the show, like Tom Cotter and who I think he came in second, who went on our show. His pay, you know, more than tripled for wherever he is.
He's a good friend of mine.
More than tripled for wherever he is. And this is worldwide. Yeah. So it is definitely a life-changing moment. And that door is, that's why I'm here today. That door is there. And we're asking people to open that door and change their lives. I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. Because I'm in the room and I get to see it. I think that's why it is still and continues to be over years and years the number one show on television, because that's what people can relate to. All they have to do is go to AGTauditions.com, record yourself, and let us be the judge of whether it's, you know, worthy of being on season 20. And you don't even have to, you don't have to have something. What if you know somebody? What if you are related to somebody, or you see somebody at work or at school, or it's a partner or whoever, record them. Be like an agent.
Yep.
Send it to AGTauditions.com and be responsible.
Yeah.
Somebody's life changing for the better.
You talk about the impact it has, like Simon Cowell has said about you. What he says, I watch Howie's face when he watches the acts. He looks at life through a child's eyes. He looks at everything in a very uncomplicated way. And he talks about, like, he can see, like, how connected you are to it. And I can remember auditioning for things that are really important, and you certainly did early on. Are you commiserating with them? What are you feeling in that moment? Like, it must be like a parent watching their kid at the recital, right? On some way, I would imagine you're remembering those days when you did it, right?
And still do. You know, I still show up to places and pitch things and do this. You know, all our life, we just want people to like us and to say yes and to do it and to buy it and to, you know, enjoy it and to click on it. And to, you know, life is a constant audition. I think you don't walk into a room without hoping that everybody, you know, that's why you get up in the morning and you comb your hair. I don't. But that's why people get, you know, or you get dressed a certain way. You're basically auditioning all your life. And when I sit there now, I'm so comfortable on AGT that I think when I first joined it, you know, I felt like I'm doing a show. I don't feel like I'm doing a show. I feel like I'm watching a show. And the purity of, as soon as somebody walks out there, number one, I have the relatability of how nerve-wracking that possibly is. And each and every day, as I told you, I'm still touring. I still feel the fear. I love that fear. It's like a roller coaster. I walk out, I don't know if the audience is going to laugh at me and enjoy that show the way I hope they do. So I feel that nervousness. I feel that awe. And then if it's going right, I feel that joy. My jaw drops to the table. I don't think I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
People make fun of how I overact, but I think I just don't act. I think I just don't, you know, hold myself back to maybe, you know, considering how goofy my face is right now for television. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh my God. And I look forward to those moments, those oh my God moments.
If you have, you're genuine, and I think that's why you're so successful in everything you've done, whether it's dramatic acting, stand-up, hosting, and also the longest running judge. It's very clear that you're not acting. It's very clear that I could see your body language when you're watching the acts, and you look like a parent, like that want, you know, you want everyone to succeed. And I wonder now, like, we've been doing this a while, if your current self could go back in time with hair and tell your younger self when you were auditioning what not to do or what to do. Like, what have you learned over the years yourself as through auditioning and also watching these people year after year essentially audition for fame and money? What you have any perspective on that? I'd be interested to hear that.
My perspective is that you don't know. And there is not, it can be that moment, but you don't know what that moment is. No, on everything that I was most nervous about, on everything where I thought it's take it or leave it. This is the moment. This is what I got to do. I was never right. Never right. Never right. You talked to me about, you mentioned earlier, Deal or No Deal. Deal or No Deal was the one thing in my life that I said no to so many times. And I ended up doing it. And in my mind at that time in 2005, comedians weren't hosting game shows. And it was the nail in the coffin of my career. I've never had more success than Deal or No Deal. I thought doing that would just bury me. By the same token, you know, when you show up on AGT, you know, you think it's all about this and this is what they're going to like. Right. I've seen people on AGT who have, you know, chosen their song, chosen their moment, chosen what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to shit. And then, and somebody like Simon will stop them and say, could you just try that without the track and do it like that? And then all of a sudden they rise to the occasion. See, when they're asked to do something that they didn't plan, when they're asked to go down a different direction, somehow that worked out better for them. So the point is that you just got to be open to life. And open to opportunity. And that's what this, my appearance on your show today is about. You know, I'm telling you, the opening is agtauditions.com. And you can't overthink it. You can't think I don't have what it takes. You can't think what I do is not considered a talent. Just got to be open to it. And you know what? Everybody who even wins it. Richard, nobody's more surprised last year than Richard Goodall. He never dreamed. Right. You know, he's still posting. Today he posted something. It's his 10th time on a plane. Here he is in his mid-50s. He didn't even think he would be on a plane. The idea is you don't know. Just live it. Open to it. And don't put too much pressure on any. I get being scared. I love being scared. I still love thrill rides. And it keeps me in that moment. And I love that kind of feeling even when I'm on stage. I want that feeling to be like, I don't know what's going to happen. This is going to all fall apart. This is great. You know, but I let it happen. And I'll show up and let it happen. So that's what I'm here today to tell you to do, to show up. And that's why I like all the other, that's why I love stand-up, because it's live and anything can happen in the moment. And that's why I keep doing it. That's why I keep touring. And that's why I'm doing a podcast with my daughter. You don't know what's going to happen. Dana White could get up and walk out, and he did. I don't know why. And Billy Corgan could come on last week and tell me he's possibly Bill Burr's brother. And my jaw dropped, and we got headlines all over the place. And I don't know what my daughter's going to say to me. Or I sit with Harlan Williams on When a Stranger Calls. I do these podcasts. I love just being open to whatever can possibly kick me in the gut. And otherwise, you just stay in the fetal position, and life will be quiet, uneventful, and nothing will happen.
Right. Well, you've got to put it out there. That's what I tell people, and that's what I've done. And you're exactly right. Like, you don't know where it's going to come from. Like, you know, I had Frank Oz on my podcast. And we really hit it off, and we love to talk process and the creative process. And one thing led to another. And at the time I was developing a off-Broadway, now Broadway show, a comedy show, stand-up, but it involves some other aspects to it. And he ended up being the director of my show. And it became, because if I hadn't had him on the podcast that day, right? And I just thought that was it, the podcast. And so it led to all this. And then that opened up a bunch of doors working with Frank, who's incredible. And like, and you keep talking about the fear. And in reading some stuff about you, that really struck me, because that resonates with me. You know, you say fear fuels me, fear of not getting a laugh, fear of needing that next laugh, like almost like a comfort blanket. And you also talked about learning about the process of stand-up, watching Richard Pryor in LA early on. Talk about that, and like even him and the fear, you could see him grappling with fear on stage. Talk about that as a stand-up, as a performer, as a person, because I thought that was fascinating, the whole idea of fear.
Well, fear is like, I believe that fear could be a driving force, you know? You know, fight or flight. You know, either one of them, you know, if you have fear, then you're either going to be, you're going to fight for something, or you're going to run like hell, which is also moving forward. If you have complacency, and that's what a lot of people look for, and I don't know why they look for it. It just seems comfortable, but you wouldn't go to an amusement park where the roller coaster was just, you went along a track at about, you know, 5 miles an hour, no fear, freeze in your hair, and it went on for hours and hours. It's boring, and you don't get anywhere. So my point is that the things that scare you, things that, you know, no pain, no gain, build you up. And whether it's fear or whether it's pain or whether it's hurt, that's the only way to get better, bigger, healthier on a different
Does
level.
Does it exhaust
There's
you?
No complacency. You know, it's really interesting. You could lock yourself in a room and do nothing and not be scared and be protected in padded walls, but you'll just go fucking nuts. You need fear to move forward. You need pain to move forward. Fear and pain, I think they're all in the same category. It's like working out. You know, if you don't lift something that really hurts and it's really hard to lift, then you're not going to grow that muscle. Don't do 10 more sit-ups, then you're not going to get that six pack you're looking for. If you don't put yourself out there, you're not going to get any further than you are. So if you want to take a journey in life, you need to face a fear. That's the only way to take a journey.
Did you ever get exhausted from that? Like, you know, the business is, and you talked about like right around the time to before Fear or Deal or No Deal came about, you were getting kicked in the balls a lot from the business, like we all do. Did you ever sort of like just go, I it's too painful. I'm tired of the fight. It's the fear. I don't want to deal with the fear anymore. Like it was, did it ever just get to you at any point?
Yeah. You know, and I've been open about my mental health and insecurity and neurosis and OCD and all that. Yes. But I have a wonderful support system. And first and foremost, my wife, who pushes me forward, and she's the one that said, take the deal on Deal or No Deal. It beats you up. Sometimes you just can't do another sit up. Sometimes you can't go to another audition. You can't do another show. You don't feel like showing up. It's too, the pain outweighs the glory that might come of it, you know? And, but the point is, if you look at anybody who's made it, you know, and what is making it? Making it is, to me, is the journey, is having a goal. Even in the course of a day, to wake up to look forward to something. You know, we have a saying, it's called hump day. And hump day is the connotation that it's Wednesday and you're halfway through the week over the hump of doing all this shit that you're not excited about, you don't want to do, so that you can come to the weekend and just stop doing it, but not do anything, just stop doing it. And that's why a lot of people don't achieve their dreams. The point is, I think, young people who come to me and they say, what is my advice in making it? Like, I don't know what your definition of making it. I don't think it's notoriety. And I don't think, because notoriety is so fleeting and so, I don't care how fucking big you become in one generation. I don't think you can name your own grandfather's grandfather's name. And that's your own family, let alone somebody who is famous. Money, everybody who's buried in the graveyard has the same worth. So it doesn't mean anything, but for me, success was April 19th, 1977, on that dare to get up at Yuck Yucks in Toronto.
Yuck Yucks.
Found stand-up comedy, and I look forward, tonight I'm going to drop in, I'm in LA, I'm going to drop in on the club and go do some stand-up comedy. And I tell you that, to me, that's from my waking moment, I'm looking forward to tonight. I'm not saying that this interview is any less, but I'm saying I'm looking forward to tonight. I think if you could have something in life that you look forward to, then you've made it. That's success.
Yeah.
You can make yourself excited or happy about, I don't care if it's a fucking stamp collection, just something to look forward to instead of that drudgery that most people do because they believe they have to do, you know, and they do, you know, I got to go to work and I got to do my 9 to 5 and I got to, and that's okay. I had to do that too until I found stand-up. And even then, I had to do it because I couldn't afford stand-up, wasn't affording me to pay rent. So I worked all day, but then I looked forward to going to the comedy store at night or the Yuck Yucks at night.
Yeah.
That fueled my whole day. And getting up early and doing these interviews, I'm fueled my whole day. I'm really looking forward to tonight. And I'm not exaggerating it. I can't tell you. I got some new stuff that I'm looking forward to trying out. We're going to be doing something. I got some friends that are showing up at the club. It's just, and it's not a big, you know, I do tour and you can go to HowieMandel.com and see where I tour, but this is just fun at the club.
Yeah. Working out. It's the best. It's the process. Anyway, listen, you did say, quote, I need to feel a little piece of that tickle that I felt at Yuck Yucks on April 19th, 1977. Clearly you still do. It's AGT.com. Go audition. Send the video in. If you know somebody, grab them, take a video, send it in, AGT.com, HowieMandel.com, stand-up tour, hilarious, great guy, great actor. And
Howie Mandel really does stuff with my, you know, with Jacqueline Schultz, my podcast, my two podcasts. I have one with Harlan Williams called When a Stranger Calls. So whatever, just be part of the Howie Mandel world.
Howie Mandel Industries. Hey, great to have you, Howie. All right, there you go. That's Howie Mandel. Hope to see you guys out. January 17th, Fort Lauderdale, Broward Center for the Performing Arts in Florida. January 18th at the Dr. Phillips Center in Orlando. Going back there, that's a return visit. I'm going to be at the United Center March 8th in Rhode Island. We got other dates coming up. So hope to see you there. Go to paulmercurio.com for tickets. I also could do my stand-up in the city in New York and more on the road as well. And we will see you next week, everybody.